Job chapter 14. We will try to hasten tonight. I'm always trying to improve as a preacher, as a pastor. So I know that time is of the essence, but I'm also aware that we could probably do with a little more church and a little more preaching is okay, especially in our day and time that we live in. Because I'm gonna borrow from a wonderful verse in the Bible that says, "And so much the more, as you see the day approaching." Okay, so maybe we should go from 1 hour services to 2 hour services to 3 hour. You know, so much the more, right? No, okay, I didn't think that was gonna fly. So, but I thought I'd pitch it out there and see if you know somebody would swing at it. But I guess not. Okay. We're stuck on baseball right now. I don't know why, but all right. Job chapter 14, if you'd like to stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you are physically able, we're just going to read a few verses, about eight verses or so tonight, verses 7 through 15. And so we'll begin. I'll begin in verse 7. Just follow along here as we continue to talk about Job and his responses. We're looking for these truths in the scriptures that are being revealed to us about our great God. Look at verse 7. It says, "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret, until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to work to the work of thine hands." Continue to look through Job and Job's comments and his words. The things that he has to say, the things, if you will, that are on his heart or in his mind, we need to remember that these are things and suppositions and philosophies and feelings and ideas that Job has based on his current life, okay, and his past life, if you will, the life that he has lived. We know about Job that he does have a relationship with God, okay? We know about Job that he is wise to the things of God, okay? So Job is a, if you will, a Christian man. He's not a novice. He's not a newly saved. He's a hoary head, if you will. He's one who has experience in life and in these matters. So if you think about Job and the things that he has accomplished in his life, the things that he's done, the things that he's experienced and been through, he knows some things, not only about himself, but about his God. And not only about himself and his God, but about his friends and other people and acquaintances. And he knows things about people that he has known in the past, right? I mean, there are people in Job's life who have passed away, probably saved people and lost people. Job has these experiences. So if you look at verse 7, he makes an interesting comparison here, you know, about a tree or a plant, and then mankind in verses 7 through 11, and then 12 through 15, and we see these comparisons that Job brings up about trees and about plants and about man and how they're different because trees have an opportunity. I mean, if you just want to go look out here, very early on of us coming here, it was recommended that we cut down these trees over here on this side of the building because of the foundation. So I decided to cut down the two that were closest left one of them. We may cut it down. We'll just see how things go. But can I tell you something? That both of these stumps that are left on occasion continue to send up shoots out of the ground. Okay, so I'm going to have to do a little bit of work to probably dig those up and dig those out and get those done away with completely to accomplish what we want to accomplish. But for the most part, they're subdued, if you will, because as soon as those little sprouts come up, we snatch them off, you know, real quickly and get those taken care of. But can I tell you something? That root system is still there. And it's still trying to reconstitute life, bring those trees back to do what trees do, and etc. So he explains that. He says that there is a hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, that the tender branch thereof will not cease. And he says, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water will it bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. And those things are a true statement. All right. So Job, whatever profession he was in, we know he had cattle. We know he had all these. He's obviously dealt with horticulture, with plants, with trees. So he knows these things about this. And so he says that's true of a tree. And by the way, that's true of us during our lifetime. Let me remind you of something in Daniel chapter 4. The Bible says, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the grass of the earth, and let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over the beast of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Y'all remember that story, right? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He asked Daniel to interpret that dream. But it has to do with this thing of a tree. And we know what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. A very unique circumstance happened to him. But the dream was about a tree being cut down, the stump being left, and Nebuchadnezzar was given a second chance, if you will. Okay? So that's we kind of get the idea that Job is saying, look, trees are this way. He said, there is a chance. And so you can kind of think about Job in his life. He's saying, God, okay, you can cut me down, and I may be able to rebud and regrow because the roots are strong. He said, but for a man, when he's dead, there's no chance of this. Okay? So look at the verse 10. He says, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Okay? So he's not here on this earth anymore. The opportunity for life and regrowth is past. Okay? So that's what he's talking about. And that's what he's talking about in death. Okay? Not in circumstances. Not in things that make you feel like you want to die, where Job was in his case. He says, God, you know, just take me away. I'm done with this life. But at the same time, I think he realizes that he may have been cut off and he may have had his branches cut, but the roots are still there. He's not dead yet. Okay, so we have these ideas to think about. So We are a dying creature. Death is a permanent thing. God has appointed a time that we are going to die. But until that time happens, we are like a tree. We are perhaps like a stump sometimes. I don't want you to necessarily raise your hand, but there are circumstances in life where you feel like you've been totally cut out, right? Totally cut off. Maybe something severe has happened. Maybe a diagnosis, maybe a death, maybe a circumstance. Whatever the case may be, folks, we go through severe difficulties in our lives. And Job certainly has experienced a severe difficulty. But even though it's cut down, and even though the branches are cut off, there is hope of a tree. That's what's so wonderful about verse 7. But death is the end of that hope. Okay? For that individual. Now, others still have hope because they're still alive. So as we talk about these things, we need to realize that there are some things that we need to be prepared for, that in life, when circumstances happen, we need to be ready for God to help us to rebud and to regrow those branches. You see, folks, just because something negative happens in your life doesn't mean you're done. Doesn't mean you're dead. Doesn't mean that there's nothing left but those judgments that are coming. And we're going to talk about those in just a moment. But as he talks about this, he makes the first reference to the tree, and then the second reference to man, as far as things being over. He says that the waters, as the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. Then, they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. So he's asking for a wish here. So he states about the tree. We have to think about this, that when it's cut down, just at the smell of water, it'll rebud. That's what he said. And then he makes a statement, a sure statement about man going to the grave. And then he makes a request. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. Until your judgment is past. And then he says here in verse 13, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. So he's not talking about being cut down and rebudding again, because he's kind of voicing that he doesn't really want to go through that again. Now, we need to think about this. If you just had 10 children die, and all your things taken away, your health taken away, and your friends accusing you of being wicked and a hypocrite and evil, and not having a good relationship with God, even if God would rebud you and rebranch you as a tree, wouldn't you be a little bit afraid of being cut down again? I mean, just in our human forms, right? We would be tentative about that, wouldn't we? God, I don't know if I want to go through this again, right? I'm kind of thinking that's what's going through his mind. He's like, you know what? God, I don't think I want to be like the tree. I think I want to be like the man that gets put in the grave and we're just done. And then, you know, deal with me how you're going to deal with me at the judgment. And that's what Job is voicing. So we need to realize that, God has appointed all these things in our lives. And by the way, we ought to thank him for whichever one is coming our way. Now, it may be that God is going to cut down the tree and he wants us to go through that for whatever particular reason. And then it'll be rebudded and rebranched and all those things will happen and that tree will be a fruitful tree again and until the absolute time of death in the grave happens. Now, it may be that God cuts a tree down and then doesn't allow it to rebud. How many of you have had plants like that, right? Where it's supposed to be a plant that came back every year. They call those annuals, is that right? Perennials are the ones that you have to replant all the time. Is that... Okay, perennials are the ones that come back. Annuals are the ones... Okay, I had it backwards, sorry. I'm not versed in all those things all the time. I've actually had annuals that came back every year. only here in Texas, though. Other places, they just die, you know. Somebody was telling me, who was it that telling me the other day? Maybe it was Miss Robbie. Said we're going to have a light winter. And I just cringed. I don't like light winters. Do you know why? Because hard winters kill bugs. Okay? We need hard winters. Something to freeze for a couple of weeks to kill all the bug eggs and all those things, right? Come on, everybody. That's a reality. That's not something we really have to worry about up north. but down here you do. So less bugs is always good. Now, but we have these certainties to face. If you want to, we'll just listen to this. We don't have time to turn there. But Psalm 139, David writes, says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! So you understand that, he's just saying, look, all my members were recorded. Everything. So that means if I'm as a tree, if I'm cut down, those members were recorded. And then if it rebuds and the branches arise again, then those members are recorded. So God knows our frame. He knows all that we're going to become. But regardless, we should be ready and willing to go through whatever God has for us as his children. Whether it is a difficult circumstance, if you will, unto death, and then we know the judgment, but then, or if it's just to be cut down, like Nebuchadnezzar was, and after a period of time and bringing him to repentance, resprouts that tree, whatever the case may be. But we need to be certain that these things are possible in mankind. Look at the verses 14 and 15. He says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. So he's talking about this thing of answering for his life, or this thing of the judgment. Just very quickly, there are two judgments. We know this from Scripture. What the first resurrection is unto life eternal in heaven with God, for the dead who are in Christ saved. We know this from 1 Thessalonians 4 and Revelation 20. We understand about the judgment seat of Christ and going through all of that, where our works will be made manifest, right? The wood, the hay, and stubble will be burned up. The gold, silver, and precious stones will remain. So those things are going to take place. Folks, we as Christians are going to be judged for our lives. It's important that we live the right kind of life. We be the, if you will, the best tree. Whether or not God ever does cut us down and rebud us or not, we need to be ready for the judgment. Job says, remember me. He says, if you skip ahead a little bit to verse 16, he says, for now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? So he says, God, you know me. You know my life. You know the results of it. You know what I'm doing. He says, there's an appointed time till my change come. That's talking about that changed body, right? New body, new life in Christ, all those things. But then there's also the resurrection unto the final judgment, the great white throne judgment, where folks will be judged because they're not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire. We have that in Revelation 29. So you understand that there is a finality to death. And there's a finality, if you will, if you only have one born again experience, or one born experience, let me get that phrase right. If you're only born once, okay, into this earth, then you're going to die twice, right? You have a physical death and you're going to have a spiritual death. But if you're born twice, then you'll die once. You only have a physical death and you'll have a spiritual rebirth, right? And so we know that these things are coming. We know that these things are happening. So as we look to what Job is talking about, we need to be careful to understand the fullness of what God has designed. And I think Job understood it, but he was also in this time of great sorrow. He was in this time of difficulty, and he says to God, "Oh," in verse 13, "that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me." So I think that Job knew about the resurrection. I think he knew about life after death, if you will. And he was wanting not to be like a tree that rebuds, but he was wanting to be rather encompassed by that finality of death in this world, so that he could enter into the judgment of God and stand before God and be judged for his life. And so you understand that I suppose that's not necessarily a bad thing. But we need to be willing to go through whatever God has for us, whether it's an initial cutting down and rebudding, or whether it is the finality of the thing of death in the grave, that we're held until that time of judgment. So whatever the case may be, we need to just understand the truth of these things. And by the way, that's given to us here in the scriptures. So we have of a surety the knowledge of these things that God wants us to know. Just very quickly, Psalm 16, the Bible says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but the saints, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So we understand that we need to realize what God holds for us. And it's not our choosing, but rather God's choosing for us. So whichever one, we need to know about them so that we can, as we go through circumstances, continue to trust in our God, continue to give him praise for what he will do in our lives through these circumstances.